Accession number 16355, Reel 5.
Mr. Ames, Reel 5.
And as they took the Wimpy around the extinct volcano Etna, they used to put the wingtip down, and due to the disturbed air in that area, the wings of the old Wimpy, they used to waggle like seagull's wings. Much of the annoyance of us irks in the back were hanging on with our teeth. Sicily was a pretty place, and we were able to get quite a lot out of there before we had to get back to Califrana. Anyway, when the time came for us to destroy all this stuff, all our aircraft had disappeared by that time. The flying crews had all been discharged, and there's just the ground staff left, and I was by that time the senior NCO, and it was my unfortunate pleasure to organise lorry trips loaded up with fuselages, petrol tanks, oil tanks, everything down to the smallest washer, and take them to the cliffs, dump all the gear over the side, and just see it float away into the Mediterranean. Thousands of pounds worth of stuff went over the side. There was one day when we did have a bit of fun. We found an unexpected supply of very light cartridges and a number of very light guns, and we used to take it in turns with a shooting competition, firing these very cartridges at the stuff that was floating in the water. It was interesting to see the cartridges go below water and still burn, you know, the different colours, but it's still a heartbreaking job. We went to Halfar and recommissioned there as HMS Falcon, and as a gesture to the natives, well, I say natives, the Maltese people, a party was given, because some of the supplies had been getting through and the cooks had been able to put some stuff on one side, and we were told that some of the workmen would be invited into the camp onto the station, and we made sure that those people who did come onto the camp also had either a pretty daughter or a pretty sister with them, so that we was able to have quite a little bit of jollification in the dance floor. The dance floor was the local naffy. The cooks had put a buffet on in one side. Well, when the girls came in, they brought their local duennas with them, all loaded up with the black mantillas and black gowns and the big black reticules. And we thought, oh, well, they'll be sitting on the sidelines with their knitting or their crochet work and all the rest of it while the girls are dancing. To our amazement and to the horror of the cooks, when it was announced that the buffet was open, the duennas were up on their feet and off like rabbits into the billiard room, onto the table, opened their bags, and put an arm, a crooked arm, across the table, and suddenly all the plates of sandwiches, cakes, and everything else started to disappear into their bags. Even custards and jellies and trifles disappeared. Like, what's going on here? Oh, that was for Thomas and Teresa, the kids at home who couldn't get invited to the party. They were going to get something out of it. We finished up there that night. The cooks had to make the old Bully Bee sandwiches for us. That was quite a night to remember as well. We stayed at Falcon for, well, quite a long time, until it came to the end of my service, practically. And the last memory of Malta must surely be of the time I spent in prison. Not because I did anything naughty, but because the Fort St. Angelo was a transit camp, and the Fort St. Angelo had been used just before the war as a civilian prison. It was a medieval fort, and it was so big, the walls were so thick, that there were actually stables built into the walls of the fort, with a well in the centre and little compartments, little cells all around, so that when the enemy attacked the fort, if one little cell fell, well, the rest of the body of the fortifications would still be withstood. We came home from there in another liner, I forget the name of that one, but by the time we got back to England, we came to the time of signing off, and I'd done 7 years and 55 days out of the 7 years that I'd signed on for. And the authorities then said, oh well, fair enough, you're going on to reserve time now, because you signed on 7 years on active service, 5 years on reserve. You start your active service now, you go on to the reserve, and you'll be stationed in your own town of Hull. I said, oh, that's nice. What is the Fleet Air Arm doing in Hull? I said, well, you will not be going into the Fleet Air Arm. You'll be occasionally coming back to Yeovil for a refresher course, but when you get back to Hull, you will be redesignated as a diesel mechanic. I said, now what on earth do I know about diesels? Well, he said, you'll be drafted into the Humber Division of the Volunteer Reserves, and you'll be working on motor fishing vessels. And that's how I finished up my time with the Navy, as a volunteer reserve, ostensibly on a motor fishing vessel, working out of Hull. Now, I started off as a Fleet Air mechanic working on aeroplane engines, and finished up working on diesel engines and fishing vessels. One little reminder, going back to the time we was at Fayed, was the fact that we did occasionally have some chance of getting away from the bullwhips of the Egyptians and go down to the Bitter Lakes for swimming exercise and recreation. Well, of course, we naturally peeled off to our shorts and did a bit of sunbathing, and I was rather surprised to find that some of the wrens who were in that area were stripped off virtually to their birthday suits. And I said to one of the old timers who was down there, that's a little bit risky, surely. Oh yes, he said, but that's nothing around here, you'll see a lot of that. They do that deliberately. So they know that if anything goes wrong and they get pregnant, they'll get their ticket out of here and get shipped back home. So they do it deliberately for that. So, but there's just one thing I ought to warn you about. So that one, and that one, and especially that one, keep away from those three. And there's another one over there. So keep away from them. So, well, why is that? He said, they're all rotten with VD. One very bizarre incident that happened during the war years and affected me considerably happened when the Eagle, after the Eagle had been torpedoed, and the Queen Mary, the Cunarder, was coming back from America, and it got in contact with an Akak cruiser, the Curacao. The Curacao, due to some manoeuvre, was drawn by capillary action into the track of the Queen Mary. The Queen Mary of 80,000 tons just carved straight into the Curacao, which is only 4,000 tons, and just cut it completely in half. Both halves, well, they were sunk. It's particularly poignant to me because on the Curacao there were about 50 men who came from Hull of the Humber Division. Of that 50, there was only about 7 saved. But more importantly to me was the fact that my own cousin, who had previous to the war been living in Canada, who made his living as a salmon fisherman, was also on the Curacao, and he was also one of those who went down with the ship